So, hello, and thank you all for coming here today. I'm excited to present some data that was done by a great team of investigators, including Nancy Simcox, myself, Sarah Wakai, Loyola Welsh, Carol Westinghouse, Chen Sheng Lu, Tim Morse, and Martin Cherniak. And you see, we come from all different places, both academia as well as unions. And we have looked at urinary phthalate metabolite concentrations among custodians using green cleaners. So first of all, this presentation was supported by a grant from NIOSH. It's our results, but don't necessarily represent the official viewpoint of NIOSH. And I also have no relevant financial or conflict disclosures to report. So without ado, let's talk a little bit about the commercial cleaning industry. It's an industry that many of us are well aware of, and that's because, unfortunately, as occupational and health professionals, we know that they experience a lot of risks. Traditional cleaning components, cleaning chemicals, have lots of different harmful chemicals within them, including acids, solvents, bleach compounds. They can be in aerosol or sprays, making them an exposure hazard. And what I'm going to be talking about today are phthalates, which can also be found in commercial cleaners. We also know that this occupational group is at increased risk for both acute and chronic health problems. And in the state of Connecticut, where we're all located at UConn Health Center, we're fortunate that in 2007, the state passed a law that requires all state buildings to use cleaners that are environmentally preferable products, or EPPs. So the requiring EPP is part of the state's way of switching to green cleaning. And the definition of green cleaning is cleaning without harming the health of the users or the building occupants or the environment. And this is done both through using specific cleaning chemicals that are certified as EPP by third-party organizations such as Green Seal or Ecologo. Have any of you guys been to an industry and seen these little environmental symbols, Green Seal or Ecologo? Is this familiar to people, some out there? I don't know if you'll notice it. I noticed it actually in the bathrooms here. They're using Green Seal toilet paper. So check the next time you're in a restroom. You'll see some of these logos around. And what that means is that the products have been certified by these third-party organizations, which test them for different harmful chemicals. And ideally, it's a product that has been screened for things like asthmogens and irritants. However, there's some loophole. There's a however statement in these products. So unfortunately, disinfectants, sanitizers, and antimicrobial products are all not evaluated at this time by Green Seal or Ecologo. So they tend to be some of the most hazardous products that a custodian may work with. And then the other thing is that this is a process, an evolving process. At the time of this study, not all of the EPP products being used in the state of Connecticut were tested to be phthalate-free. So there were some that were definitely phthalate-free, but some that are not. So just because it's green, doesn't mean it's safe to drink, but it does offer an alternative that has been screened as compared to traditional cleaners. And so we did a community-based participatory research program, including members of unions, labor organizations such as Connecticut, the Coalition for a Safe and Healthy Connecticut. We formed an advisory board and had UConn and Harvard School of Public Health on as academic partners, and partnered with six state agencies, including their union and non-union workers, to really look at how green cleaning was being implemented in the state of Connecticut. The goal of our study was to improve the acceptance and ensure proper use of green cleaning programs. I mentioned the products, but in addition, a green cleaning program also includes using specific methods that are healthier methods, such as using microfiber cloths instead of cotton, using mops that aren't as heavy and burdensome for pushing to reduce potential musculoskeletal effects. And we also wanted, as a goal of the green cleaning study, to ensure the proper use of these green cleaning products, the proper methods, and to look at disinfectant use and make sure it was being done in a way that was appropriate and gave less exposure to the workers. And then the part of the study that I'm talking about today is our desire to characterize the urinary phthalate levels among the custodians transitioning to green cleaners. So this is a larger study. So this is a larger overview of the bigger study, which included our partners' focus groups. The part I'm going to be talking about today is the biomonitoring study, which also included site visits. As I mentioned, our goal was to characterize urinary phthalate exposures among custodians transitioning to green cleaners. This is a group of our custodians at one of the state universities in Connecticut. Phthalates. I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with phthalates. Fortunately, they're one of those ubiquitous chemicals. I have the structure up here on the top where R can be any number of different functional groups. So phthalates, the diester phthalate is listed here. This is a great table that was taken from an OEM article by Russ Hauser and colleagues. And it talks about the different types of phthalates. So each of the different phthalates has a different functional group on that R structure. Diethyl, dibutyl phthalate, di-2-ethyhexyl, dimethyl. And you'll see the potential sources for these exposures are widespread. Personal care products, lacquers, varnishes, vinyl floors, PVC plastics. And the ones that we hypothesized were most likely to be in institutional cleaning products, rather, were the DBP and the BBZP and the DEHP. Although it's also possible that workers, through their personal care products, would also be exposed to phthalates. So we have exposure coming in from lots of different routes, and lots of different sources and lots of different routes. They can be inhaled, ingested, or they can also be absorbed through the skin. So once those phthalates enter the body, they go through a hydrolysis process, and the phthalate diester is cleaved to a phthalate monoester, and I have a table below which gives the abbreviations of the diester as well as the monoester, and that's what we analyzed in this study, is the monoester. It should be noted that some of the larger phthalates are actually go a second process of analysis of oxidation rather before being excreted in the urine, but for the purpose of this study we only measured phthalate monoesters in the urine. The typical half-life for this process is short and tends to be around 12 hours, but of course varies by the different phthalate. So we wanted to understand how these custodians were being exposed to phthalates and whether they related to their workplace exposures. So we used a repeated measure study design where we took urine samples from the same individual over four different time points. The first being the first void in the morning, the second being a before shift void, the third an end shift, and the fourth a bedtime. We hypothesized that before shift as compared to first void would tell us something about personal care products, whereas the end shift might tell us something about exposures at work, as well as the bedtime, depending on the half-life of the urinary phthalate. These urines were analyzed by ICP-MS and adjusted for creatinine. In addition to asking workers to provide urine samples, they were also followed by a study team member and observations about the products they used and the tasks they were performed were done on an hourly basis. We used geometric means to characterize the metabolites since the data was skewed, and we used mixed models to look at differences between the metabolites over different characteristics, which I'll report. So, we had 68 participants. A little over half were men. Mean age was 51. 75% of our participants were white. English was spoken, the primary language of 49%. We had nearly equal amounts of Spanish and Polish speakers as well. The majority of our participants worked first shift, and we had four different work sites that were observed. Two of them were state universities, where workers primarily cleaned dormitory and classroom areas. Another site was a university hospital, where workers also cleaned hospital rooms. And the last site was a residential training facility, where workers did some kitchen cleaning tasks as well. Of note, we actually had a number of participants, 24, who had abnormally low creatinine values. Because of this, we did a sensitivity analysis to see if they reflect, if they affected our results, and we didn't see anything. So as a reminder, these workers, as of 2007, so 2 years prior to the study beginning, were transitioning to EPP products. However, when we looked at their different product use, we saw that traditional products were still commonly used at the work site. 26% reported no or were observed with no traditional product use, 57% with low, and 16% with high. Now, EPP product use was similar, and disinfectant use was seen by a little less than half of our participants. So we actually have a lot of different exposures going on here. This is a big table of our urinary phthalate levels over time. I presented the ones that we thought were most correlated with the traditional cleaning products, MEHP, NMEN, BP, and MBZP here. I present the geometric mean, median, as well as min through max. First, you can see that was for the products that were associated with cleaning products, and these are the products that might be more associated with personal care, the metabolites, rather, that might be associated with personal care products. So first thing is to take a look at all the urine samples, regardless of the time that they were taken. And you can see we have a big variation. For MEHP alone, the range is 0.2 to 1,124. The geometric standard deviations are quite high. And this follows the same for MNBP and MBZP, as well as MEP and MMP. Next question is, we wanted to see if we saw any discernible patterns by the time that the sample was taken, if we could see jumps due to personal care products or worker exposures during the workplace. And unfortunately, we didn't see any statistically significant difference depending on when the urine sample was taken. So these are for the three chemicals that we thought would most be associated with cleaning chemicals. When we look at MEP, we do see a rise in the before shift, possibly suggesting that it's coming from personal care product use. And MMP is quite variable as well, the highest being before bedtime. So, So this is where we then broke down our urinary phthalate levels by exposure, traditional product use versus EPP use. We categorized whether they had none, low, or high exposure. Once again, these are just for the metabolites we thought would be most related to traditional or cleaning products, in cleaning products. The first thing is, if you look across the high exposure group for either the traditional product users or environmentally product use categorization, we would think that in the high users, we would see a trend with high exposures towards the end shift. And in fact, we don't quite see that, with the exception of EPP use for MBZP, MNBP, and perhaps for MEHP, where we see an increasing concentration of metabolites as the day went on. However, it gets a little more complicated when we look across the exposure patterns, because the data is pretty variable. In the interest of time, just to mention that, it looks like we're going to need to use more complicated statistical techniques to tease out this relationship. We did, however, look at difference at the levels of urinary phthalates by the weekday. So this is comparing different individuals. And we saw trends with increasing exposure, increasing urinary metabolite concentrations across a weekday, so higher levels on Friday. And this was statistically significant for MBZP and borderline significant for MEHP, suggesting that these workers may be accumulating exposures across a weekday and thus have higher levels of urinary metabolites. So in conclusion, it looks as if the urinary phthalate levels appear to be from home and work sources. The end shift urinary phthalate levels in this population were higher, but the same order of magnitude as levels seen within the 2012 NHANES data, and that's with the exception of MEHP. So they're high exposures. We saw some cross-shift urinary phthalate levels, but they did not seem to change much with cleaning chemicals. And we did see an increase in urinary phthalate levels, specifically MEHP and MBZP, across the work week. And as I mentioned, this data is a little messy, so we're looking forward to using a mixed modeling technique to try and tease out some of these relationships. I'd like to thank, of course, the study participants, as well as our community groups, the funders, and offer some resources should you be interested in learning more about green cleaning. Thank you.